All right, we are live, Rashan Messianic Bible Club. Congratulations once again to all the Messianic Bible College graduates. I've got some of your messages that you've received your diplomas as far as England. Everybody's receiving diplomas in Africa and wherever you are in the world that you took the class, you have received your diplomas.
There's more coming out this weekend, Pastor Sam.
You're sending more out?
I'm sending more out this weekend.
Okay. I didn't know. I thought you had sent them all out.
I sent them all out. There's more going out.
Okay, and more are going out this week. So Pastor Ben's getting that taken care of. Look at that. Pastor Ben waited till after the 14th to send the rest out.
Because if it happened before, they wouldn't need them.
They wouldn't need them? Okay. All right. He's sending them out. Hopefully, we still have time. I'm not sure, and I don't think anybody's really sure right now, so it's better just stay ready. Praise God. Well, shalom, hakol havarim. I want to open up in prayer today. I am barking and woofing all day today, because you know what we're going to do? Someone asked me a very strategic question in one of the emails. They said, why did you say that the rapture is misbehaving? And remember what I said, that was my statement that I wanted to do the message on. And the Lord's like, it's not. It's going to be perfect and on time, okay? So I want to answer that question, why I felt that the rapture is misbehaving, because everything in God's timeline has done exactly what it's supposed to do in the exact timeline. And then now we get to the rapture, and the rapture seems to differ from the timeline. And I can't really say it's deferring from the timeline, but it's completely set up, and we're here in this time where the rapture should have even already taken place, which I don't think so, because the Lord said, no, it's going to be in perfect timing. But I want to show you why we are so anxious and crazy about this moment, because all of the prophecies and everything have already been fulfilled, and all of the timelines have now been fulfilled, I guess, except for the last generation. And so we will look at that. Before I get started, let's say our prayers. And if you can, bow your head and say the Lord's Prayer with me. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshimcha Tavo Mehutecha Yit Aserot Sanaka Be'aret Ke Asher Ne'asa Be'Shamaim Ten Lano Hayom Lechem Ukenu Uselak Lanu Et Ashmetenu Ke Asher Solechem Menachnu Le Asher Ashmelanu Vial Tevienu Lede Masa Ke'im Hatzilanu Min Hara Kilaha Hamamlaka Vehagivara Vehatif Eret Leolame Leolamim Amen. Praise God.
I have a question from Robert Matos.
Yes, Robert.
Pastor Sammy, does the fig tree parable of Matthew 24 have anything to do with the parable of the fig tree in Luke 13?
It's the same fig tree. It's exactly. Now, in Luke, he also says, and look at all of the trees, right? Go back and look at the study that I did on the fig tree, because he's saying, look at all of the trees, not just the fig tree, but all of the trees of the earth, because he's seeing the earth as being representative of all the Gentile nations plus the fig tree representing Israel. Okay? So understand that there is a section that we went over where the fig tree asked, that all the trees of the nations asked the fig tree to come and rule over us. And the fig tree said, no, I don't want to give up my sweetness of my figs and rule over a bunch of Gentile trees. And then he went to the vine, to the olive tree. And the olive tree said, rule over him. And the olive said, should I give up my plumpness and all this to rule over Gentile trees? Because what he's saying was Israel, the trees that represent Israel, the vine, olive tree and the fig tree, all of these trees which represent Israel, were saying, we don't want to be bothered with the rest of the trees of the world, the Gentile trees, okay? And then it said, so after, see, somebody does that. So after, what happens? Since Israel didn't want to rule over the trees or to teach them, then later the thorn bush said, the people said to the thorn bush, rule over us. And the thorn bush said, I'll rule over you only if I can, you know, if you come into my darkness and all of this stuff. Okay. So since Israel wouldn't teach us what's going to come up on the world and who's going to become the ruler over the world, is going to be the thorn bush, which is Satan. Okay, so I forget exactly where that chapter is where he's asking all of the trees to come. All of those trees that refused were representative of the nation of Israel. Okay, so when he says the fig tree and all of the trees, the Israel and all of the trees, when you see that this tree has blossomed, Israel, you know that it is at the end, right at the door, that summer is near. And summer is definitely sure near. Praise God.
Praise God.
So if you can't find that, Robert, I'll send you that message so that you can go back through that, okay? Okay, so.
Praise God from Africa.
Hallelujah, Africa. The original Kush nation.
Amen.
Praise God. What I want to do right now is I want to talk to you about why I feel like the rapture is misbehaving, okay? And because everything in history has always been on a very structured plane.
Hello from Israel.
Yes. Israel. All right. Shalom, Israel. Manishma. Okay, so I want you to see through, I'll take you to the board, that for 6,000 years, history has obeyed the word of God. Timelines have obeyed the word of God. 1948 obeyed the word of God. So in doing all of this, The word of God was controlling everything up until we got to this point, and then we got to the book of Joshua, I mean the end of Deuteronomy and Joshua, and then now we have this space in between Moses dying, and Moses happened to die in a jubilee year. Mm-hmm. On the 120th, he was 120 and he died in a jubilee year, okay, which the 120th Jubilee just happened to be 2017, okay? And it was the 120th Jubilee. So we're going to look at this so that you can, I hope that I do it well, so that you can understand why this is not something that we're guessing about. You understand? This is not something that we're like, oh, well, you know, I said last night, oh, I ate donuts and then I saw the number 5 in my, you know, jail donut and whatever. What, this is not that, okay? This is not even a dream factor, because God don't deal with me really in dreams when it comes to the word. God deals with me in the word of God, okay? So I have always had to take the word and then study it and show that the word is in sync with prophecy, okay? And that's the only way that God really deals with me. So I want us to understand that the beginning of this is Bereshit bara Elohim, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? And it's remarkable because as he creates the heavens and the earth, he puts himself and he puts the world on a structured pattern which says, I'm going to create the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, I'm going to take a Shabbat, okay? So, it followed the structure. It did not veer away from it, okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And the earth was toho vivoho, which means that it was void and empty, okay? And the Ruach Elohim medahethet above the cheshek, above the darkness. And it says, then God said, let there be light, yichior vachior. And it says, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. And he said, Elohim kara haor yom, and hakoshek kara laila. He called the day, the light day, and he called the darkness night. And he says, there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the first day, okay? And now he goes, I'm going to create, and then he goes into the second day of creation. And then he goes, there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the second day. Yachi Erev, Yachi Boker, the third day. Yachi Erev, Yachi Boker, the fifth day. Yachi Erev, Yachi Boker, the sixth day. And at the end of the sixth day, what happens? God rested from all of his work, okay? On the seventh day, he rested, and he called that day his Shabbat, okay? This day of rest. Now, he structured the world in this same pattern, commanding to the Israelites, for 6 days you can work, but on the seventh day, you must rest, okay? So they had to rest. And anybody who broke that pattern, anyone who broke that pattern was severely dealt with.
Yes.
Out there, one guy out picking weeds or wheat on the Sabbath, and he and Moses took the case to God, and God said, take him out and stone him. Because he had broken the law of the Sabbath. Because God has a structure of 6 days, and the seventh day you will rest. Now, God is not man. He made the Sabbath for man. And he even says that in his scripture, right? Mm-hmm. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, okay?
Amen.
It was made for our benefit, okay? Okay? So man was not made to worship, the Sabbath is not supposed to control your thought life, your brain life, and all of this. The Sabbath was made for you because God says, I want you to rest.
Yes.
He did it for our benefit, is what he's saying, okay? So, as we're counting 6,000 years, and the whole thing starts with Pastor Sandy in 2003 saying, okay, I want you to look at the 6,000 years of mankind, okay? So we begin to look at the 6,000 years of mankind, and we go from Adam, and we count all the way through till we get to Terah, and Terah is 70 years old, and now he's going to give birth to his three sons, and one of those three sons is Abraham. All of this happens in the 1948th year of mankind. So all of a sudden, you're looking at the count and you're going, God made it where Terah begins to have the birth of Abraham in the 1948th year. So what's so important about the 1948th year? No one would have known at that time, but God had planned on rebirthing the nation of Israel in the year 1948. How do we even know that there would be a 1948? Because after Messiah, the 1948th year would be the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Okay? So, God did this and he structured it, okay? Then he has Jesus being born into the world in the 3,983rd year of world history. And so the 3,983rd year is 17 years minus, okay, or 17 years minus the 4,000th, where the 4,000 has great significance because the 4,000 would mean the fourth day.
Yeah.
And you cannot sacrifice a lamb, according to Exodus chapter 12, you can't sacrifice your lamb until the fourth day. So that means when Jesus turned 17 in the 4,000th year, he was eligible to be a lamb.
Yes.
Okay? Now, this is important because now as you're counting from the birth of Jesus, 2,000 years, that means it would not be the year 2,000 as some secular people, recording artists, Prince would say, 2000, this is it, because he's thinking is Jesus Christ in the 4,000th year. No, Jesus Christ was born 3,983rd year of mankind,
yeah,
leaving 17 to the 4,000. So that means it won't be another 2,000 years until 2017. And so you count perfectly from Adam, 1948 marks you, you're on the right course. 3,983 marks you, you're on the right course. Why? Because also Joseph was 17 when he began his ministry.
Yes.
And since Joseph was 17, since he began his ministry, guess what? The 4,000th year didn't occur for Jesus Christ until he was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, God is like, I'm structuring this whole thing, okay? Everything's supposed to behave. You understand? Everything has to behave because God is structuring time. Okay? Now, God is not only counting in years, he's also counting jubilees. Okay? The 50th jubilee, the 50 times 50, was the exit out of Egypt. Okay? That was the 50th jubilee. Okay? If you're going to have 120 jubilees, you have 70 jubilees after the exit from Egypt to the end of the 120th jubilee. God is doing this because he's telling us a story of how the end is going to happen. Now, when you think about the 120 jubilees, and I want you guys to try to follow me, you go back and you say, wait a minute, 120 is very important because God told Noah in the 120th, I will not always strive with man in Genesis chapter 6, right? But his days will be how long? 120 years. So now you have this 120 years go by after Noah, and then the flood happens, okay? And seven people are in the boat with Noah making the eighth. When Jesus takes us up, there'll be seven churches, and our Noah, our rest, will be Jesus, and that is representing the 120th,
yeah,
okay? So this is perfect. Thank you, Lord. You gave us a perfect structure. The flood is going to happen in the 120th. And when we get to the 120th jubilee, that'll equal the 120th of Noah's time, right?
Amen.
And then we know that the flood is coming. And you're going to take the seven out with yourself, and you're going to go above, and the destruction, because Jesus says it will be just as it was in the days of Noah.
Yes.
Wow. So now we're on course. We can now look at the structure of Scripture and we can say, okay, now we know that it's going to be for 6,000 years. Now we know that the nation of Israel is going to be born in the 1948th year. We know that the end of the 6,000th year is going to be the 120th Jubilee. And it was. Okay?
Amen.
Now, he said, here comes the loophole. Okay, watch this. This is, let me go to my other Bible, because.
Can I toss something there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Someone asked earlier, what's the best way to repent?
The best way to repent is verbally from your mouth, confessing what you have. Confessing that you've repented from whatever sin that you've said. The best way to, the worst way to repent is to yourself in your mind. The best way to repent is to openly, because remember this, it used to be sacrifice of animals, but the New Testament says all of our sacrifices are on our lips.
Yes.
So you have to speak your sacrifice now. And your sacrifice from your lip is the confession of your sin and the asking of forgiveness and the cleansing of it through the blood of Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? So the best way you know how to repent is with your mouth. Okay? And God says, and with a contrite heart.
Yeah.
So you can't say, well, I said I was sorry. You know how I used to do that. You know, somebody, I get in trouble, and the teacher say you're sorry. And I go, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean it. You know what I mean? Right. So you have to do it with a contrite heart. Okay. I'm going to get back to this. Thank you for that question. I used to hate when I'd be in church, I asked the pastor a question, and he go, can't you see I'm busy? So I'm never going to do that to you guys. So here we are. In the book of Deuteronomy, and man, it's about to get real, okay? Because guess who dies at the age of 120? Moses. Moses dies at the age of 120. Not only does he die, listen what, okay, now watch this. Let's see. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7 says this. Watch this. This is important. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The important thing to know here is that Moses died when he was 120 years old, okay? So now that you know that Moses was 120 years old when he died, you say, wow, that's amazing. Moses was the exact age that the time that from God telling Noah to the time of the flood.
Amen.
So you got, wow, okay. So from the time God said, I will not always dwell with men, to the 120th year when the flood began, is the same 120 years that God is saying, look, Moses lived to be 120 years. Okay, and then he died. So we're having two events happen at the end of 120 years. Very important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you count 120 jubilees, and that would be 50 times 120, you would come to 6,000. Okay, so now let's look at this verse. In Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're going to be in verse 9. Joshua to succeed Moses is the name of this chapter, okay? But listen what it says. It says, so Moses wrote down the law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel.
Then Moses commanded them at the end of every seventh year in the year for canceling debt during the Feast of Tabernacle, when all the Israelites come and appear before the Lord at the place he will choose, you shall read the law before them at their hearing. Okay? So, Moses is reading this, and Moses is going to die this year, but he wants them to know, every year, I want you to come at this time. What's it called? The time of canceling debt. Mm-hmm. That is what they call the Smita year. That means all debt is canceled. Why? It is a Jubilee year. So Moses, later that year, dies, and Joshua replaces him in his 120th year, and it happens to be on a Jubilee, in a Jubilee year, okay? So now we get to the 120th year, okay? The 120th Jubilee of all mankind. In 1917, they had a Jubilee, and Jerusalem was won back to the Jews. In 1967, exactly 50 years later, they have another Jubilee, and Jerusalem is won back to the Jews. In 2017 is the next Jubilee, and Donald Trump announces that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. We're perfect. We're on perfect timing of God. The Jubilees are falling into place. That means in the Jubilee year, in the 120th, the flood began. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my goodness. 2017, it's the end of 6,000 years. The flood's about to happen. We're about to go home. Oh my God, this is so awesome. The scriptures are not misbehaving. They're staying on course.
Yeah.
2017 comes. It's the Jubilee year. It's the end of the 6,000. And we're thinking, okay, God's going to work an additional 7 years that he's going to pull in Israel, but we know our time's up.
Mm-hmm.
2017 passes. It's gone away. 2018 comes. Israel has their 70th birthday. Israel goes their whole year of their 70th birthday. Mm-hmm. And we're thinking, wait a minute. The Jubilee's over with. The 6,000 years over with. What are we still doing here? Where is the rapture? So we go to the book of Joshua. And we know that the ministry has now been turned over from Moses to Joshua. And this is where we begin to see that now Yeshua or Joshua is going to cross the people over into the promised land.
Where are you reading?
Okay. I haven't found it yet, but Israel. Okay, I'm in chapter 5. I mean chapter 3.
Chapter 3 of.
Yeah.
Chapter 3 of.
Chapter 3 of the book of Joshua.
Okay. Verse 1.
Yeah, we're going to be in verse 9.
Verse 9.
Okay, let's see. Are we going to read there? Okay. Camp, then the priest and the carriage. Okay, now watch this. Okay, so I don't want to go through verse 9 because that's just going to tell you what God promised in them. And what God is promising them is this. God is promising. Well, Joshua said to the Israelites, come here in verse 9 and listen to the word of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, which are all black nations, okay? So God is going to remove all of these people from the land of Canaan and give that land to the Jews. Okay, God is promising them this. But now he's telling them this. In verse 14, so when the people broke camp and crossed the Jordan, the priests carrying the ark went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage, meaning that it was just a breaking of spring, so all the water was flowing now through the Jordan, all during the harvest. And yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water's edge, and the waters from upstream stopped flowing and piled up in a heap and a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the waters flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea. Okay, so now the people are about to cross over the Jordan, okay? Now, what do we know before they cross over? What do we know that has already happened? Moses has already died. That means it's the end of the 120th year, right? The Jubilee, Moses died on a Jubilee, so we know that the 120 and the Jubilee have all passed. And now it is time to cross over. With us, the 120th Jubilee has passed. It's time to cross over for the people who are now following who? Joshua or Yeshua. We are not a part of the law. We're being crossed over by Yeshua because he represents grace. Okay? So now we're about to cross over into the, and we're happy about this crossover that's about to take place.
Yeah.
Here, let me. Okay, so let's go to chapter 4, verse 19. It says, on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan, camped at Gilgal in the eastern border of Jericho, and Joshua set up at Gilgal 12 stones, and they had taken out of the Jordan. Okay. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when you see these stones, I don't want to read all that. Let's go down to verse 23. For the Lord your God will dry up the Jordan before you, before you until you had crossed over. And the Lord God did to the Jordan just as he did to the Red Sea. When he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He had done this so that all the people of the earth might know. Listen why he did this. He crossed them over so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of God, the hand of the Lord, is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord. Now, why is the rapture happening? So the people of the earth will know that God is real. Once the rapture happens, the world will know that God is real. Now they're going to have to think differently, talk differently, and that's why so many people get saved during the tribulation. Now, listen to this as we enter into chapter 5, okay? It says, now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all of the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts melted. And that's what the world is going to do. We heard that the rapture happened and their hearts will melt.
Yeah.
And it says, and they no longer had courage to face the Israelites. Now they knew that God was real. It says, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeth Haraloth. And it says, now this is why he did it. All who came out of Egypt, all the men of the military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. So that means for 40 years, okay, there are people who took the journey for 40 years but had not been circumcised, meaning their flesh had not been cut off. The Gentile church is a 2,000-year journey, but that equals 40 times 50 is 2,000. So that 40 jubilees, that means our journey, the journey was open, it was over. So now what has to happen? Our flesh needs to be cut off. Why? Because we are crossing over into the Jordan, into the other side. And now there must be a circumcision of the old man, taking it off, putting on the new man, which is Christ. Okay, this is what the structure is in scripture, and he's showing you, I'm about to do this same thing. I'm about to circumcise the church, meaning I'm going to cut their flesh off, even while they're walking. Okay, while you're still alive, we're going to cut off the old flesh because we're crossing over into Jordan. Amen. Now, all of that is so beautiful, but now you have the 1,117th chapter of Psalms being the division of the whole Bible, and it's a praise up to God, thanking him for what? For all the blessings and for Yeshua and everything. And it's two verses, and it divides the whole Bible. And it's 62 letters, which is the word bin, which means between, which is 62 in gematria. So this is the dividing of the water and leading the Gentile church out of the world.
Yes.
Only one problem. 117, which is 2017, came and went, and the church is still here. So you're like, okay, rapture. You're starting to misbehave. When God said for that the captivity in Babylon would be over in 70 years, Daniel prayed and it was over. Okay? When God said Abraham's children, I mean Terah's children, which included Abraham, would be the beginning of that would be 1948, and we saw that 1948 brought back the nation of Israel. That means the scriptures are obeying the structure of time. Okay? Now we're here, and Israel, on a Gregorian calendar, has passed 70 years, and we're still here. Okay? According to us, the 70th year passed by, and we're still here. So this is why I said, I was saying to God, it seems like the rapture is completely misbehaving from the structure of scripture and not obeying the timelines. Here, let's look at the board real fast. Amen. Okay. I got it. Okay. No problem. Okay. I want you to be on the same page with me. We finished the 6,000 year. It's perfect 6,000 year count. I've given it to everybody. PhDs. Super biblical scholars,
super biblical
dreamers who woke up and said, God show them. Okay, I've given it to and anybody who wants a copy, I send it to them because I want you to be able to count that 6,000 and see how perfect it is and that it does not exist without scripture because God is not going to count 6,000 years and not put it in scripture. But he put it biblically in scripture so I can show this 6,000 to you through scripture, not just, you know, guessing what year that was. God gives you the year. Okay? So the 6,000 years ended. When it was ended, it was the 120th Jubilee. The 120th Jubilee came and went, and then we're still not raptured, and now we have the 70th year Israel come and go, and we're here, and I'm going, Lord, what is going on? It's not cooperating according to the math of your scripture that has obeyed you since 0 to 1948, obedience,
It had to happen in 3,983 years, because when the 4,000th year came, Jesus had to be 17 because Joseph was 17. So that happened. Then the 2017 year came, and that 2017th year was also the Psalms year of 117, okay? And we all know what 117 is. 117 is a code for the wedding and the marriage. So, I looked at all this, and I said, Lord, the rapture's misbehaving. It's not doing what the scriptures have structured out. So, if we don't know something, if this is not the end of your 70 year in your calendar, or if after this is all done, now we have to wait with expectation, not being able to go back to anything else. You have to realize something. We don't have another timeline to go back to. Now we can all guess and say, okay, I think it's going to be Pentecost. And then if Pentecost should pass, we say, okay, I think it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. And if Rosh Hashanah should pass, oh, I think it's going to be Heshvan, because that's when the flood happened. I don't want to go through all that. You understand? So when my friend calls me and she says, hey, Pastor Sandy, the Lord told me to tell you he has the calendar that is true, and that tell the people to stay ready, because now, even though they don't know, I could go back over here if you want, Pastor Man. Or am I okay there?
Wherever you want to be.
Okay. So now we're saying, look, when she said this, look, God told her, I'm the only one who knows the real calendar. Tell Pastor Sandy it's not May 14th. It is, but I know the truth date. And then she said, Lord, is it weeks away? And she said, the Lord said, no, it's not that far. So we're waiting expectantly, unexpectedly, as the rapture is supposed to happen. You don't know the day or the hour. Now you're like Enoch was. And I don't even want to say it, because everybody's going to say, it's going to be on Pentecost. In Jewish culture history, Enoch was born on Pentecost and was also raptured on Pentecost.
Amen.
Okay? So if someone wanted to look to a date, okay, I would say okay. But I want you to know, all of the timelines have passed, and all of the timelines were perfect all the way up to the rapture. And so now we have to wait and say, what day? We don't know, because you don't know if it's going to be Pentecost, because God never promised you the rapture would be on Pentecost. He said it would be at a day that you think not.
Yes.
So that means we have to stay ready. And I'm believing the word that came to my friend who said, look, it's not that day, but it's not far from it.
That's
okay.
Right.
So let's stay ready and make sure we are ready to go. Praise God. How you got there, Pastor Ben? How much time?
We have? We're only at 42 minutes.
How much time we got left?
10.
Okay, good deal. So now we can do Hebrew class. Hallelujah.
Now we can do the Hebrew class.
I wanted to explain that to everyone, because you have to know that all of history has obeyed Scripture from the very beginning.
Yes.
Okay? Stay there, Pastor Ben.
Okay,
don't you move. I'm just erasing this board. Okay? Because there's something else. That we need to know. I'm going to pull this out of here. Yes. Okay. Now, let's look at this scripture here. It says, I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Okay. Now, this is an added thing, because I wanted to explain why last night the title was the rapture is misbehaving. because in the timeline that we're at, we're as close as you can possibly get, because everything's being fulfilled. And we ain't even talking about Donald Trump and the Jubilee. We're talking about also many other things, such as what's going on in Damascus, what's going on with the Third Temple, and all of these things that are going on. We understand that we are living in the last, and I would say the last hour, okay? Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. If you may. It's a great chapter. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Are you guys ready? Watch this. It says, the Lord said unto the serpent, wait a minute. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. I'm very sorry. That's going to be Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Watch this. And I wrote it down there, and never changed it. Exodus chapter 3. And I have it in this Bible, that's why. This is my, okay. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. This is what it says. And God said to Moses, because this is what Moses said in verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? And he says, what shall I say to them? And God said to them, said to Moses, Ichia asher ichia, he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am that I am. What is the numerical gematria for Ichia asher ichia? 543. Okay? So I'm just going to write this. Pastor Bean, you don't have to go over here yet. This is the number of the great I am, okay? I am that I am, okay? Did I write 543? Maybe, right? Okay, so that's the gematria of the great I am, Ihia Ashir Ihia, okay? So then the next time that we come to this numerical value actually was in Genesis chapter 21, verse 33. 21:33. And listen to what this verse says. Okay, and it says, then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there called the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Okay, so the name Shem or Shem Yahweh El Olam. Okay. Shem, Yad He Vav He, El Olam, the name of the everlasting God, El Olam. Numerical value, guess what? 543. So the everlasting God and the I am that I am are both the same numerical value. Okay? Let's continue on. As we're in Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14.
Isaiah chapter 7?
Yes, verse 14. And that says this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. His name is what? Emmanuel.
Yes.
Guess what the numerical value? His name, Emmanuel.
543.
So that means
the Ihiyah Asher Ihiyah, the great I am, who is the everlasting God, is also the child that's going to be born called Sham Emmanuel. Okay? So now if you said, okay, well, what if you just take the name, not say his name is Emmanuel, and you just said the name Emmanuel? It would have the same numerical value as the Most High God. Okay? So the 543 gematria of the Hebrew language is telling you that the great I am is the everlasting God, is also the Son whose Shem is Emmanuel. It's the same God, right? Now, we go to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. Is the New Testament in close to Isaiah? No, right? There's no New Testament when Isaiah is written. But listen what it says. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. Beside me, there is no God.
Hallelujah.
Then we get to the New Testament in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. Listen to this. Jesus says, or John says, when I saw him, when he saw Jesus, he said, I fell at my feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said to me, be not afraid. I am the first and I am the last. In other verses, he says, I am the first and the last. I was dead, but now I'm alive. So the guy who died on the cross is the first and the last, who is also the great I am, who is also the everlasting God, who is also the Son named Emmanuel, which means what? God with us, not angel with us. Okay. Not a good prophet with us. God is with us. Okay. This is why from Sunday, when I made the statement from Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, that Abraham said, this is what God told me. He said, I will. He says, I will appear. Okay? I will Yihi or Yad before the name. Now they do an aleph before pushing the word into the future. But it was the Yad, okay? Yiro'ah, Elohim Yiro'ah lo. God will appear himself as what? Sahah, Holocaust, or the Holah offering, right? So God said, I'm going to appear. All of scripture everywhere is telling you that God is going to appear. This whole thing is what God did for human beings when he didn't have to, because he didn't have to redeem us. You understand?
Amen.
And this is what, so God is making you go through scripture, because I'm watching a young lady today who came out of Mormonism, and I didn't know that Mormons teach their members that the Bible is flawed and it has no, and anybody who believes in the Jesus of the Bible is excommunicated.
What?
Because Jesus is not God in Mormonism. Jesus is not God in Seventh-day Adventist. Jesus is not God in Jehovah Witness. Jesus is not God in Islam. Only person that Jesus is God is what? Born-again Christians, okay?
Wow.
Who follow the Bible. And I wanted you to know that, because when you're talking to a person who is under one of these demonic cults, I call them, and they say, no, Seventh-day Adventists, they're okay. They believe in Jesus. They don't believe that Jesus was God.
Wow.
They believe he was an angel. He was an angel Michael, okay? Same as Jehovah's Witness. He was the angel Michael, okay? Same as the Mormons who believe that he was just one of the prophets, right? And they believe just like Islam,
okay, that he was just a prophet. So we have to understand these people's salvation is in jeopardy. Why? Because Jesus says in John chapter 8, if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. And so you can't. What if I said to you, you know, you guys, I still believe in Jesus. I just want you guys to know that. But I believe he died on a cross. I believe that, yes. But I believe when he came, he was the pre-incarnation of Kobe Bryant. And then Kobe came and just, you know. So basically, what I'm saying is, I don't believe Jesus' testimony is that he was God. Mm-hmm. I believe who I believe I want him to be, right? Jesus says, when you do this, he said, you will die in your sins. We don't have the right to say Emmanuel, God with us, was not God with us. We don't have the right to say the one who said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, is not God with us.
That's right.
Okay? We don't have the right to do that because God has made in his scripture a structure that you must believe on the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and you must, and Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins.
Rahel T. Roca said, don't forget about the Muslims.
The Muslims? Oh, I know that. I know that. I mentioned them as well, right? Because he's just a prophet in the Muslims, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was just a prophet. Okay, and even the Quran, which I still have my Quran with all the crazy scriptures that I had to underline that I had questions about. And one of them was that Jesus did not die on the cross, that someone else died in place of him. And he was an imposter that died in place of Christ, because God would never crucify someone as good, a prophet as good as Jesus.
Really?
So Jesus never died on the cross in Islam. It was an imposter. So you have to understand, look, salvation through the name of Yeshua, who is God in the flesh, who came to earth and died for our sins. And now he came so we can have this wonderful thing. He planned this wedding. He died. He paid the price for his bride. He gave us the ring of the Holy Spirit. Then he left. Then he said, I'm coming back again to take you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
He's coming back again to take us to his place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that we will see where he is. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he says, I'm coming to perlambana you there, to take you as a bride, to take you as a friend or a companion there, to be where I am. Okay? So if God just comes and lands on earth and says, ha, I'm back, and I destroyed everybody, you go, what would you say? What happened to John 14, which says that you would come again and take us to be where you are? Because
mm-hmm.
we haven't been there. And there's nowhere after he returns that says that, oh, then he took everybody up to heaven and showed them heaven, then brought them back again.
Right.
Okay, so scripture has to be fulfilled. We have to be watching scripture. And we have watched the timeline fulfilled since the time of Adam up to 2017, 6,000 year, the 120 jubilee done, and now we're waiting in anticipation for Joshua to take us across the Jordan and to circumcise this old flesh so that we can enter into the kingdom. Praise God.
Pastor Michael Murphy, London.
Hey, Michael, how you doing, my brother? God bless you.
Pastor Ben, could you ask Pastor Sandy what he thinks about Geno Jeans?
Geno Jeans?
Jennings.
Michael, listen, you know. I'm glad you asked me. But
who is Geno Jennings?
Geno Jennings is one of the worst. Now, this is how he gets his audience. He speaks out against other people that are bad. But him himself, first of all, he also says that Jesus Christ is not God. Okay?
What?
He doesn't believe that he says that Jesus was not God. So that means that his whole spirit is Antichrist, okay? Now he tries to speak out against other people and talk about T.D. Jakes and, okay, yeah, you're bringing up other people and you're trying to make other people think that you're a man of God because you're speaking out against other bad people, but you're just as bad and worse as they are. So this Geno Jennings guy is the most corrupt of all of them. And plus, there's a lot of history of him and the women in the church. And let me tell you, he does not have a good history. So his whole spirit is demonic. And he tries to read like a Muslim. Read on, my brother. And he tries to sound so official, like he's reading. And then he has somebody else read the scripture. And Gino Jennings is one of the saddest people I've ever seen be able to have a church and have people follow him. He is as bad as... It'd be better to go to T.D. Jakes' church than Gino Jennings' church. And I'm telling you, because that guy is really bad news, okay? And he disguises himself as bringing us the truth, and he's not. So be careful on that. I hope you feel the same way, because if you know anybody as a member here, you tell them that guy is way off the rocker.
There's a few people that are
Yeah. Praise God.
That it?
Okay, that's it for today.
Please let them know I'll be sending out more diplomas, more certificates this weekend.
What's it? Hatikva, the hope, Hatikva, okay. Which is the song for Israel, their national anthem. But my tikva, uh-huh. Okay?
Okay.
Is that I don't see you next week. Not here. That I see you in the kingdom of God.
That's my hope.
Okay?
Amen.
And then we can dance and we can sing there. But this timeline and where we're at is to me, it's more dangerous because we don't know. You know what I mean? People could prepare for May 14th. They could prepare for 2017. They could prepare for September 23rd and the Revelation. All of these were things that people were prepared. But now we're in the same situation as Enoch, because Enoch said, the Lord has told me that he's coming to get me, but I don't know the day. So welcome to the Enoch syndrome. Praise God.
Michael, hope he said amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Michael. And he's in London, right? He's in England. Okay. Did he get his
I don't know. Michael, let us know if you got your certificate yet. I believe I sent it out.
Is your degree certificate. If you've received it, let us know.
And there are more going out.
And we hope that you're gone before it gets there.
Yes, Lord.
All right.
Let's pray out, Pastor.
Let's pray out. And Yi ase Adonai panavileka ve yasim lekai shalom. Lekai shalom. I'm still barking. I'm gonna be barking till I'm flying. When I'm flying, I'll stop barking. I'll just wag my tail then.
Michael said he didn't get it yet.
Okay. All right, Michael. You earned it, and I'm just praying you get it soon.
Amen.
Okay. The Lord said to Moses, when you see my people, say unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Le'itirot b'shavua chaba. Or Beshamaim. All right. Or in the heavens.